It's beautiful, beautiful job. Thank you so, so very much. My favorite hymn, by the way, that is Blessed Assurance. And thank you also to our decoration team that did incredible job putting this all together. What do you think? Is this beautiful? Takes lots of hands and hearts to make it happening. When I listened to Tanya, I was thinking about all the churches I've been pastoring here in Kentucky, and I don't recall a one. Even some of them were pretty large churches that we didn't have to have a little rally to finish it well. Just about every time we end up being in a situation, because guess what? Our giving is based on voluntarily. We don't force you to give anything. It's based on your love for the ministry and for the Lord. And there is so much generosity in this church. Believe me, I have seen it and experienced it. There's so much generosity. And many times we go beyond what being asked. And that is what ministry is all about. Now, and every now and then the needs go unmet as well. And since there are so many opportunities to give, some of us may forget that, okay, we got to take care of basics first, which is the church budget and the general fund, because that's the feeding, that is feeding all the ministries we do. And then when there are other opportunities, additional opportunities to express your Christian love and to be part of many, all kinds of missions, then we do that. I grew up on the farm, and the thing about the farm is that there's lots of money that goes through it, but it never stops in the hands of those who are working. I didn't see much money around. I don't know if my parents, they put lots of money through their hands. But I remember my father's, many times we have a conversation over around the dinner table about things and matters, and he always used to say that let's take care of the basics first, and then if we have resources, then we add on. And I think it's a good thing about the church, too, that let's take care of the basics first. And you are so very good at it, taking care of the basics first. And then if love is needed beyond what we need here to keep up with everything, then we do what we can. And so thank you again for your generosity to help us to do and to be what we've been called to be in this community. This past week also again showed it to me how very important role we are playing. We may not be the largest church in the community, but we are most definitely not the least ministry in this community. We are impacting lots of lives every single day. That's because of you. One or two of us are helping here and there, but it's the whole church that is making difference. It's always been that way. And it's also that way here at Berea UNC, United Methodist Church. So thank you for your generosity again. Hope always comes to right time, right place. Hope is a big thing. It is so big thing that even I was to preach to you all day long, we won't be able to cover all. Maybe bits and pieces here and there. Hope is so big thing, an important thing, especially for us Christian believers. It truly is. But when we are working on these readings, my sermon is based on the epistle reading at this time, Apostle Paul's second letter to Thessalonians. And when we try to get something out of this letter that may not be the largest letter in the Bible, but there's so much to it, that there's so much important and useful and relevant for us here as a church of these times. By the way, if you are visiting any barber store or barber shop here in town, you have learned that there's lots of good philosophy going on. When you listen to these guys who are waiting for their turn or who are being operated. Of course, I don't have reason to go to the barbershop too often for obvious reason. So I disappoint them every day. I don't know why they charge me the same price than everybody else. That I can't figure out. They have the explanation, but they don't convince me. But anyway, not too long time ago, I was visiting one of these barbershops here in town. And there's one guy with good sense of humor. I listened to him as he was sitting in the barber's chair. And he talked about present time concerns, as he put it. Present time concern. He said something like this. I didn't write it down, but I think I got it. He said, everyone is worried nowadays. Everyone is worried nowadays. I am worried too for many things. For example, the economy of this country. And then he continued, he said, talking to his barber, that obviously he's been going there for years, so these two guys, they knew each other. He said, as you see, my hairline is in recession. It's running from me. My waistline is in inflation. And I am altogether in depression. Of course, he made everybody laugh. You can believe that. But there's so much point when guys start responding to him. And all of a sudden, I realized that we were in the middle of very serious conversation about many, many things. The comments were made in fun, but also some of them were very, very serious. Because, friends, we are facing tremendous pressure, problems and issues and worries and concerns and pains, and it's part of our life and existence as human beings, even during this Advent season. How very important it is that we can start this journey of Advent by hearing the words of hope from the Bible, from the words of those who are shepherds of our souls. Normally, when we face the stress of life, some of you may be there today, friends who are worshiping with us through Facebook or YouTube. Some of you may be there today. Occasionally, the pressure gets to us, and we crack. We crack. We crumble, and then we crash. And we feel that I can't take it anymore. It's just too much. And some folks being left hurting and hopeless. Now, we are dealing lots of people, community people, and lots of passing buyers here at the door. We call it Emergency Ministry or Pastor's Decisionary Fund or Emergency Fund or Pastor's Fund. And you guys make it available for us to help those who really, really struggle. And I can say that for too many, hopelessness has become their existence, their new normal. That's where they are living. And it is at this point that we must strive. We must try to discover how the pressure of life can help us to find hope instead of despair. Many times we don't have too much time to deal with these guys and ladies. But we want to make something, we want to say something, we want to act upon so that they can remember at least that moment that it was good to be there. Not just to get help, but to get some words, maybe. Now, let's go back to our readings this morning. First of all, the first point here, I believe Apostle Paul's words on hope are very needed. His words of hope. So the Apostle Paul wrote the second letter to Thessalonians. I think he gets some editorial help for the second letter. But he wrote this letter probably less than 6 months after writing the first letter to the same team, the same church. He wrote again so quickly to clear up a few items in the first letter. But he wanted also to encourage this young church because they were under so much pressure. They were dealing with troubles and struggles. So he wrote to infuse them with hope by helping them to understand the purpose of troubled times. How many times we've been there and we wonder, God, I thought I'm a Christian. I thought I had made it clear to you, Lord, that I am your true follower. Why am I having these problems and struggles? Why am I in such a pain all the time? Why am I having these illnesses to deal with? We got to understand there must be a greater purpose behind all this. Then you hear somebody preaching to you that, well, you don't have enough faith. That's what your problem is. You need to cast out all the demons and illnesses from you, and you just don't have enough faith, which is nonsense preaching. Yeah, we believe in healing. We believe in God's grace. We believe in His almighty power. But we believe that we are still human beings walking through this life. Not alone, though, because Christ is with us. So we are leaning to the word of motivation. And motivation makes all the difference. When the pressure of life is on, we are more motivated than any other times to lean on God's strength, to seek help from Him, to seek healing and wisdom from Him, and just give enough strength to make it through this day. There's good news, though, and there are constantly new good news to us. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is with us. He was born to be with us. He's not just the item of hope, but He is hope Himself. He's called to be Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Not God visiting us every now and then with us, but God with us. In verses 3 to 4, we read, this is from the book of this Apostle Paul's letter to Thessalonians. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, of course, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. I want to call your attention to two words here that Apostle Paul is bringing up. As Paul writes this, he points out some interesting things that is taking place in the life of that new church. Despite of circumstances and troubles and trials they're going through, he reminds them that your faith is growing. I'm hearing, I'm observing you. What makes me very happy that your faith is growing despite of what is going on. Your faith is growing. Your love is increasing. Your love is increasing. You are standing tough, and you are facing it all together. You remain together. If someone would ask me, when I was reading to myself these words again and again while preparing for this message, I thought if somebody would ask me, wanted to ask me, Timo, if I was to describe you as a person who was growing stronger and stronger in faith and in love, would you mind to be that person? I would say most definitely, certainly, I would claim that these characteristics to be my characteristics of faith. But it is happening in the passage. It's happening in the books. It was happening in the real life of these Thessalonians. But it's not happening in good times, friends. This is happening in the pressure cooker. for us all. Easy days doesn't sharpen your character. They don't. It don't matter how much you love the easy days and how pleasant they are. God is graceful, and once in a while he gives us easy days, sunny days, wonderful days. Sometimes we make great discoveries about God, after all, when we were not expecting to do so. We discover, God, this is who you really are. I know, Lord, you are powerful. This is, but I never knew that you are the God you are. Secondly, what you find out from this reading, there's the process of pressure that produces hope. The process of pressure. It's a weird statement, isn't it? The process of pressure produces hope. But guys, it's reality. Verse 5 says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. Suffering for the sake of God's kingdom, for the name of Christian, for the name of true believer of Jesus Christ. Other translations, when I'm working on sermon, I have in my office, there are quite a few translations, and then I want to inspire myself. You go on internet, and then you ask all the translations available, and there are many. There are many, tens of different translations. And sometimes I read my native languages too, and try to figure out that I get to the bottom of it. So other translations read some form of to make me recognize that the Father is molding me into something more than I already am during tough time. To something more than I already am. Who would volunteer to that for that? If I was to ask, raise your hand, who would like to volunteer to be molded very well by Heavenly Father, you said, not at this time, I am not going to volunteer on that. But my friend, your turn will come. My turn will come. It will come. We will have that molding experience as well. Thirdly, there's peace through pressure that produces hope. Peace through pressure that produces hope. Next Sunday we preach about peace that goes beyond our understanding. Peace beyond anything else in this world. Now trusting in God will bring peace. We all know that. You hear people say, well, I've been praying about it and I had peace with it. Well, that's the sign that God is with me. This is the right thing to do. And that's pretty much the way it is. And peace will produce hope. In verses 11 through 12, we read, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling. Whatever it means, that God will count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every part, every act prompt by your faith. That's a lot of learning. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When the pressure is on, when the troubled times is there, we discover peace. Peace in the middle of everything. We discover it. It is that peace that reminds us that God is with us and that he is in charge. And that's the revealing thing to realize, that God is in charge. God is in charge in your life and he's in charge in my life. He's very much aware of what's going on and happening to you. He knows everything what's going on in your life. So we can relax and trust and just being there as we are in the hands of God, whose other name is hope. Now, something to take home from this somewhat challenging reading this morning. No wonder Apostle Paul has reason to write the second letter to explain what he wrote in the first one. Remember the first and second Thessalonians about the parousia, about the second coming of Christ. And this is what Advent is, preparation time for what? For the first coming of Christ? No, it has already happened 2,000 years ago, over. Church, we are preparing for the second coming of Christ, okay? Reflecting upon the narrative that we read, for example, the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Now, the second coming will take place differently than the first coming. But anyway, this is good news for us all who have relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you have relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you live by faith? Do you live by grace? I hope you do. Is Christ in your heart? Friends who are worshiping with us through Facebook, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Is He the source of hope for you? Because if He not, you can't put much on other people, really. It is God we need to trust. In verses 10, we find these words, on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed our testimony to you. When I was reading this again to myself as a preparation, I realized that hearing that there is hope to be discovered in the middle of pressure. And that might be a little bit challenging to some people to get right there, right then. Now, many would say, and I understand that, I don't want to find more hope. I don't want a one lecture on hope. Timo, I don't want to hear more preaching on hope. I just want this thing, this my pressure to end. I want this unknown to be settled. I want this disappointment to go away. I want these troubles that are coming to me again and again, I want them to go away. I don't want to hear more about hope. I just want this all to go away. But friends, that is exactly what makes this point exciting. At some point, the pressure really goes away. There is going to be an end to it. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. The great thing about being a Christian believer, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, something that is so attractive, is that the pressure is going to go away. And the hope is always going to win. It don't matter if it's going to happen today or tomorrow or a week from today or sometimes in the future. It's going to happen. The hope is always greater than anything you are involved today. And that hope always helps us to face the dealings, the matters we are dealing today, from the side perspective of hope. It helps us to control our feelings, emotions, and helps us to trust and lean toward God, whose name is hope, whose name is Emmanuel. God is with us. So when you came to church with uncertainty about something, you may feel that I don't know if it is any much difference than it was, yet it is. The reality is that the one who came with you to the church this morning is going to go with you back to your life after this service. And He says, I am with you. I am your hope. I am your strength. I am all that you need. And I will provide you. And I will give you hope that is eternal. There are three things that always remain. Faith, hope, and love. Great foundational thing to every Christian believer. We are standing on this steady ground of hope this morning, the first Sunday of Advent. Hope. Hope that is reality, because hope has committed to be with us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. We continue our time together by the ministry of giving, and if the ushers can come forward at this time.